You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Sometimes there's just physical violence, you know? Like, didn't Tony Pulis headbutt a guy naked, I think? I think Tony Pulis...
Well, if anyone did it, Tony Pulis did.
Have you not heard of this?
No.
Welcome to Comedians Talking About Football podcast and the final episode of Season 2. The 2020-2021 football season came and went, and now so must we. But we're bowing out with a brilliant guest, a comedian who's kept hundreds of thousands of people entertained over the last year on Twitch. It's the gaffer himself, Bilal Zafar, who's talking all things PES United, obviously. Now, I'm going to assume if you're listening to this podcast, you know about Hot Pepsi, the excellent Twitch stream series from Bilal. But if you don't, Hot Pepsi is essentially an improvised interactive comedy that runs for 2 hours up to three or four times a week, sometimes longer. Bilal plays the role of the manager of PES United, who you may remember, the team, from the classic Pro Evolution Soccer games. They were basically a made-up team with made-up players who you could manage through the game's Master League mode. Modern PES games have Master League still, and it remains better than FIFA Career Mode, in my opinion. But back in the mid-2000s, when PES was king, with the likes of PES 4, 5, 6, they were the most popular football games around back then. Well, back then you could spend hours every week on Master League, and what Bilal has done to take PES 5 in particular and create a comedy series and stream it live is genius, and deservedly so. He has amassed a huge following from the project and even has his own merchandise where you can buy the replica kits and much more. All the players have their own personalities, voiced by Zafar, and along with football, the team get up to all sorts, from performing at an open mic comedy night to appearing on Stars in the Rise and even sitting in as panellists on BBC Question Time. It sounds nuts if you've never seen it, doesn't it? But it's absolutely brilliant. So if you haven't heard of it before, go and check it out on Twitch. Today we're going to be talking to Bilal about football and the Euros, obviously, but also about how the idea to create a comedy stream based around PES 5's custom creator team came about, and talk a bit about his creative process behind the many episodes he's put together each and every week. But as I said, I'm sure most of you listening are good family men and know about the gaffer and what he does for our queen. So just to say quickly that if you're new to the podcast, you can be even more of a good family man by subscribing and listening to some of our previous episodes featuring the likes of Maisie Adam, Nathan Caton, and the cast of This Country. Anyway, right now, this is Bilal Zafar talking about PES United. Pardon the pun.
Football. Soccer. At the end of the day. Football. It's a funny old game. Comedians talking about football.
Comedians talking about football.
Comedians talking about football.
Bilal, thank you for joining me, mate. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, very, very good. It's great to have you on for this final episode of the series of Comedians Talking About Football. We're doing something a little bit different because you're here to talk about a team that not only don't exist IRL, but you also manage. We're talking about PEZ United.
Yeah.
Joe Ross Williams, good family man. He told me that you were over on Twitch. I just started not long on Twitch, and I wanted to follow some people who were just sort of playing FIFA Ultimate Team, bit of Pro Evo, things like that. And I asked people to suggest some people to me. I got some good names through, and then he said, oh, you know, Bilal Zafar's doing it. And I said, oh, great, you know, I'll have a watch of that. And it just brilliant. Like, I can't believe, one, it's never been done before, like the idea of doing it, but also how much went into it. And I just suppose I want to ask, where did the idea come about? I mean, obviously, like many other comedians, you move to online content, but to go to Twitch and come up with the concept of playing an older football game and playing the manager, where did that all come from?
I don't know. I think it was just a fluke, really, because I think, you know, because Twitch is basically you're watching someone play a video game in the corner of the screen. And then for me, it was just like, literally, like when, so I know you're a fan of PEZ, like when, I think whenever someone plays a football game, if they're into, apart from like Ultimate Team and stuff, if you're into doing a manager mode where you're doing a season, different cups, signing players, all of that, you do just imagine you are the manager, right? That's what I've always done, you know, without really thinking about it. That's what you're doing. You're imagining that you are, yeah, the manager of the team. So then it was like, it really was just a no-brainer for me that if I'm going to be on the screen in the corner, I'm going to put a blazer on and a tie and just be the manager, right? Like, and I honestly thought when I had that idea, I thought there's going to be loads of like FIFA guys who have done this, probably way better, who have like, you know, the ones with like tens of thousands of live viewers on Twitch and stuff. I honestly, I didn't know that no one else had done it. So I feel very lucky.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like the best way I'd describe it, because my wife's caught me watching it a few times.
Yeah.
And she's gone, what is this? Because one minute it's you playing a football game and then the next minute it's question time. And you're chatting to the ghost of Pat and Peggy. One of the funniest episodes ever, I have to say. And the best way I would describe it is, and I know you've mentioned it similarly as well, is that it's an improvised sort of live comedy that you're doing online. But to me, it's a sitcom. But it's a sitcom that runs three times a week for 2 hours plus at a time. Yeah. And that's, I just find that ridiculous. Like, we were talking a bit before this. I was saying I've been doing this podcast during lockdown. And like just that one project is enough for me. And I'm taking a break from it now. But like I said, three times a week, you're coming on with these characters. They've all got different voices. And it is a situation comedy in the fact that if you watch a whole episode, an event sometimes takes place, even if it's outside of football. It could be an open mic night, a radio call-in show. Like I said, question time, a seance. I mean, how much preparation goes into it?
Oh, quite a bit. It depends what I'm doing. Like that seance stream, for example, that was... I mean, there's a lot of prep, but then I try and set it up in a way usually where it's mainly improvising. So like, even so, when I did the seance thing, so we went to Reese's house, who's, I don't know, he's maybe possessed, maybe a vampire, you know, and his house is like a haunted mansion. And yeah, we did the seance. And what I did was that I told people that they were going to, I kept it as a surprise. I said, if you want to call in to the stream through Discord, let me know. And so what I did was I had quite a few people that just watched the stream. And then I had some comedian friends lined up as well. So there was a nice little mix in there. So it wasn't like people had to come on and be hilarious. But even with that, like, I didn't know what they were going to say. Like, Suze Kempner, she asked if she could be the spirit of Dot Cotton. And I was like, absolutely. I didn't know anything beyond that. I didn't know how funny it was going to be. My brother plays a character called Barry sometimes. Who's a PEZ United fan who died because he's like, I think he's 14 years old. He works on a building site and he died because he fell off the edge of a building because he was wearing Heelys. That's what happened to him. So that first time he called in was when we did like a talk sport style thing. Iniesta had a radio show. And then later he was in the seance and then he actually came back to life and he called in again on something else. So it's like, yeah, it's, sorry, I'm rambling a bit, but, Yeah, like it depends what I'm doing. If there's a specific thing that has to happen, quite a bit of prep has to go in. But usually it's like, I'd say the whole thing is maybe like 80%, I guess, like improvised.
Well, nice. Yeah, on that subject of it being improvised, I was wondering as well how much content has come from the chat box, the catchphrases, for example, list them, class to be fair, labs, you know, and so on. And this kind of, you see, like the second you've said something on there, all the comments all coming at the same time, and there's some great responses. So there must be quite a bit that's come from there.
Yeah, I think that's the really nice thing. It's like, it's the feeling of, it's not just me making a thing and putting it out. It's the it's a collaborative thing, I think, in a lot of ways. So it's like, I want to bring in the audience as much as I can, because that's the whole point of Twitch, really, I think. Mm. You don't just want to be doing a thing and ignoring the chat completely, because what's the point of being? Why would you watch it live then?
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I try and bring them in as much as I can. We've got the thing where they do little team talks, where their text basically comes up on screen, that sort of thing. And yeah, it's like they can dictate what, like, you know, I like doing polls for like a little vote on sometimes substitutions if it's a big game, if we should buy or sell a player, that sort
Joey
of thing.
Yeah, Joey Coley yesterday.
Joey Coley, yeah. People yeah. love him too much. Yeah, he's not going. Yeah. He's not going to be sold. Yeah, there's so many things. Like, for example, the whole thing about, let me think, the... Where did labs come from? Some of the things come from like little typos.
Yeah.
That just made me laugh. Like, I just remembered one the other day, actually, that we signed Peter Crouch. And I think one time somebody just said you should bring Crouch on, but they did a typo and they said you should bring Crunch on. And I found it so funny that his name would be Crunch. Yeah. So I changed his name to Crunch in the game. And there's a lot of stuff like that. It's just like, you know, you're just allowing everyone to kind of have fun. Like yesterday, for example, so like Shandy is one of our viewers, who's like one of my viewers, who's a bit like he's on the wind up a bit sometimes, basically, but it's fine. Yeah. You know, it's all fun. And like yesterday, he gave his little team talk, and he was kind of you know, he was trying to cause trouble, basically, and he brought up a player that I was trying to sign. And then what happened was, rather than just like ignoring it and being like, oh no, that's not what we're doing, I had it so that all the players kind of got offended that I was trying to sign a player. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like you take the things that people do and run with it rather than being like, no, we're not doing that. Yeah, I hope I answered the question. I can ramble a lot.
No, that's all good. I mean, and the thing is that I sort of was trying to get into the mind of how to set it up. And I think partly that's the joke, the idea that you setting this up beforehand. Like, so one of my favorite scenes of all time is, so this is just like, I feel like one of those fans who's met someone at a convention. You know, in episode 14, minutes 304, I loved the fight you got into with Dodo.
Yeah.
I mean, that was hilarious for two reasons. One, it was just funny that it was Dodo from Pez. We've all grown up playing with those characters, and now they've got personalities. It's unbelievable. I never thought Dodo would have, you know, this attitude about him and all that. Obviously captain now. But the other thing was the idea that you'd, before this episode, had animated them. Like, I think that's just really funny to think about, you thinking, right, I'm gonna have them fight today, so I'm gonna animate Dodo with boxing gloves kind of fighting.
That one did take a lot of prep. That was early on. I remember having that idea. I was so excited about doing it, because like it's a bit like when you're doing stand up and you know you've got an amazing bit to come.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I can't, you know, when it's a good gig and it's all going great and you're like, oh, I've got this coming up and this is going to be amazing. It's a bit of that feeling where it's like, I knew that was going to happen in the stream. And it's like, I love that. Like, I kept building it up. So Dodo kept being rude to me, basically. When I was doing a team talk, he kept like undermining me and stuff. And I was trying to ignore it. And then eventually it kicked off. And I knew it was coming. It's that whole thing of like, because it's based on real football stuff, you know, like, because I've heard about, I heard an interview with Harry Redknapp where he was managing in America for a bit or something. Mm. And a player headbutted him. This is not that long ago, and Redknapp, I think I heard him in an interview, and he was like, oh no, it's fine, he was drunk, kind of thing. And it's like, that's the attitude around football. There's like such a, sometimes there's just physical violence, you know, like didn't Tony Pulis headbutt a guy naked? I think Tony Pulis.
Well, if anyone did it, Tony Pulis did.
Have you not heard of this?
No.
Yeah, this is a thing that happened. I think he headbutted a Stoke player in the shower. Maybe something happened like that. So this happens in football and it's seen as normal, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah.
And also the whole thing about hard men in football, like it just, like basically with the stream, it's kind of like, because I'm a big football fan, but it's like, it's an opportunity to satirize the stuff that I hate about football. So this whole hard man thing, like Roy Keane trying to like break someone's leg or whatever, and people think, oh yeah, that's great. You know, it's so stupid. You know, people saying like, oh, you need like a hard player that's basically going to hurt other players.
Yeah.
It's just, I think it's so dumb. So my manager character used to be a player and he was a hard man. And that's what Dodo would be, that, wouldn't he? As a holding player, and he's kind of stocky, isn't he? So he would be the hard man. Yeah, no, I love that, man. The thing is, I've done so much over the last year. It's like you forget. Like I'd forgotten about that stream.
It's so much. And then, like I said, they run for at least sort of 2 hours at a time. And I was going to say as well, the other sort of parodies I see of football are so the fighting the hard man thing, I think is good, because it reminds me, there's this documentary from years ago in the 90s about Leighton Orient. It's called Club for a Fiver. And I think it's, his name's Chris Sutton or something like that. Not the Chris Sutton, but Steve Sutton, something like that. And he calls out his players in the funniest way possible. Half, I think, because he knows the camera's on him. And he basically just loses every single game. But every game, he sort of calls out two of them. And he sort of says to one of them, like, yeah, you can bring your mate. And he can't think of what to say. So he sort of says, and you can bring your dinner as well.
I remember
that. And it's just like, and I love that, because I've seen you sometimes do these sort of rants at the players. And you sort of, the character doesn't quite know what to say next. So it's like, yeah, well, I'll... You know, and I like that. But also there's a great parody, I think, of football on Twitter, which I very much enjoyed the gag with yourself and many of the regular watchers. I mean, one phrase I've always loved in football Twitter, and I've been doing this for years, is just when someone says, so I saw this recently with Jack Charlton died. And someone, and it's sad, it's a legend of a footballer and a man has died, but someone will write, oh, rest in peace, but they'll put respect from a Chelsea fan.
Yeah.
Like they have that extra merit. And I just love things like that. And also a bit, we've seen it quite a bit recently. Some of the old school football managers kind of quite angry at Gary Lineker for his left leaning ways in the mainstream media. And that's very much, I like the gaffer does that as well. You know, refuses to speak to the man, BBC.
Is it Chris Wilder, the Sheffield United manager? Like, he came out with something like that recently, which didn't make... I find it so funny because it doesn't make any sense. Like, he said something about... He was doing some interview about how he talks to his players or something. And he said something like, oh, I don't care about the left. And he might have said... I don't think he said virtue signalers, but he said, like, those sort of terms you hear. And it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's great. And these things are in football all the time now. And they've continued since you've started doing the stream. And what I love is I've seen like various people on Twitter will see a manager say something or a player do something. And straight away, I just know it's been tweeted to you with that is class, to be fair.
Oh, I get tagged in a lot of stuff. Like, the thing is as well, like people think I invented these terms, but obviously I took them from football. I mean, not class, to be fair, is my own sort of thing. But like... Good Family Man is one where I was watching, I don't know, BT Sport or whatever ages ago. And they were talking about some player and they was like, oh, you know, yeah, he's good. He trains hard. You can play him in different positions. I know him. He's a good family man, that kind of thing. And it's like, what? He's good because he has a family. That's one of the things you like about him, having a family. So I always thought that was funny. And that's why I've not actually said Good Family Man for a while, but that was early on. It was like, we need to sign some players. We need to sign a good family man. That's what we need more than anything.
Well, that created like a community of the followers as well and the subscribers on Twitch. They're all good family men. Like, I think that worked really nicely. I was watching the stream yesterday. Great goal from Kaiser, by the way. Oh, yeah, fantastic. Yeah. And it was, I see this load. And I remember it became a thing at my uni that we'd all say, because there was, I think maybe Richard Keys would say it. It'd say, you're Gerrard, you're Lampard.
Yeah.
And I just think that's hilarious because that just became an annoying thing between me and a friend of mine at uni. So it's like, oh, well, do you want anything with your with what you're eating. He goes, you know, your mayos, your ketchups, your brown sauces. That's it. Became anything. Where are you going tonight? You know, your pubs, your clubs, your and it is just that thing. Because I'd love someone to have stopped him and go, oh, you're Gerrard's. Name one other Gerrard apart from Gerrard.
It makes no sense. Your Gerrards, your Lampards, your Rooneys, literally naming players who there's no one else like.
Yeah.
I love that stuff. There's so much nonsense around like punditry as well. Like I should actually watch it more. There's just, yeah, you know, especially like I saw it like around the sort of the cup fight, the Europa League final, because it was all X-Man new players. They were doing it a bit. They were just talking nonsense because they were sad that their team lost, basically. Yeah. They were coming out with all sorts of, it just didn't make any sense. And it was good to, like, everyone was slagging them off on Twitter. People were kind of calling them on it. But yeah, I love that side of football.
And going back with this sort of it being parody of Twitter as well, you're an Arsenal fan, aren't you?
Yeah.
And obviously you've had years of Arsenal fan TV.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, I mean, there's a clip that I'm sure you know, Jacob Hawley.
Yeah,
comedian friend of mine, at least once a week, and it never stops being funny. He'll just upload with no context. The guy sadly passed away now, the fella, but just, it's time to go, and everyone just cheers. And I don't know what that's in relation to. I think it's
Arsene Wenger, right?
It could be, yeah, it could be Wenger, or Emery, and then it's just that noise of just, it's time to go. And he looks like he's quite a bit emotional for saying it, and they all sort of pat on the back. It uses it for everything now, and I just love things like that. So those,
I can't stand that stuff. And again, you know, we've got PES Fan TV.
Yeah,
we've got Nick Helm is the guy who's the head of PES Fan TV with his YouTube channel. I should actually do more with him. I've not done.
Yeah, I haven't
with
seen.
Him since.
I saw Nick on it once, but yeah, I mean, he's the perfect person you could get into doing Arsenal Fan TV.
And he wore like a yellow. This is the thing as well. I guess I should say, if there's people who don't know much about it, but that I have like occasionally just guests on as well. So that will be comedian friends who come on as like they have a role in the club usually. So like Josie Long's the owner of the club. David O'Doherty's the chief executive. You know, I've had like over 20 people now, which it's been great. And they've all been excellent. And I give them some bullet points.
Yeah.
And then they do whatever they want, which is the really fun thing. I have an idea of what to talk to them about, but I love it being full of surprises, you know. And he had like he wore all yellow and he had a yellow headband. I don't know where he got that from, but it was so funny that he's such a PES fan, PES United fan.
Well, you're right though, because they have been great, all the guests. And what I like is that, similar to your character, they all play complete mirror opposites themselves. So Josie Long, for example, very kind of left-leaning socialist. She plays this very hard, angry
corporate billionaire.
And I just think that's fantastic.
Yeah, man, I'm so lucky. Like, honestly, like, I just, because, you know, I have all these friends through comedy anyway, and it's like, I'm just so lucky that I've found a thing that I can put all my stupid humour into, basically.
I mean, let's go back to the beginning of why you picked PES 5. And it's the same reason I did some streaming as well, nowhere near on the same level. I did some Pro Evo streaming, some FIFA streaming and old games and stuff. And it is just fun because you just think, I'm going to be doing, well, I mean, not so much you, because you do have, as I said, yours is like a sitcom, but I've seen other streams I've come in on where you might be playing like GTA 4 or, you know, something like that. You just kind of, you think, I'd probably be doing this anyway. But now I've got people watching with me who I can just kind of riff off and have a chat with. And it's, it's always been a thing, Twitch, but during lockdown, it's enabled comedians, not including myself in that, but like yourself and Richard Herring, Suze Kempner, to just kind of do things that they enjoy doing at home. But then suddenly have this audience and their fan base being able to communicate with them.
Yeah, man. It's like, I can't believe more people aren't doing it as well, more comedians. Like, I thought there was going to be a big influx. I thought, like, all the sort of famous TV ones would also be on it, especially during lockdown when there was no gigs. But I'm really surprised more people haven't done it. I don't know.
That's true, actually.
I guess it is weird, though. It is hard setting up OBS or whatever. Is quite, you know, it's a bit tricky. It's not really like anything else, Twitch.
Yeah, it is tricky. And I think if you want to get it right and do like what you've done, and that is build a core audience, is that I think you have to get it right. I mean, I went back and watched some of the earlier ones, and you can see, like, over the months you've been on, well, over a year now, like, so much has changed, like the quality of each stream and the animation, it just keeps going up and up and up. So you have to put time and effort into it. I mean, with me, I've just plugged in and play on my PlayStation, no graphics, no intros. I just plug and go. And also I think you have to put the time in. I haven't gone on for months now, but I'm between homes at the moment, staying at my in-laws. So it'd be a bit awkward. It could be a good series, me playing FIFA with my father-in-law. It might work.
Yeah.
It's a funny old game. Comedians talking about football.
PES 5. That's a game you grew up with. Was it the first game you played?
First one I probably got into. My brother bought it on PS2, so I was a bit, I think I was in year 7, I think, so probably like 13, 12, 13, I think, at the time. Just really got into the whole thing, man. Also, because the gameplay is so good on PES 5.
It is, yeah.
That's the first game I got obsessed with, like properly obsessed with. Like I did, I would have done Master League. I would have managed so many teams on that game. Literally, I would have done absolutely everything. And that's why it was so good to stream it, because it's like, I already know everything you can do inside out, pretty much. There's still surprise. Like, I still managed to go bust one time on the old PES. But like I know exactly what to expect, and that's a bit easy. It's a bit harder sometimes with the new PES, because you don't have all of that. You don't. It's a bit weird. Like, I don't think I've told my audience this, but like, I nearly got sacked as PES United manager in the game. So I had to do some stuff and sort that out. That's the one that I was obsessed with. And then I kept buying sort of every PES after that until about 2000 and, I don't know, until like maybe PES 11, 12 or something, 11, 12, when it went downhill a little bit. But now I think it might, I think the new PES is pretty good.
Yeah, I think they are, actually. I was going to go back to the early ones, because I think the first one I played was back when it was ISS Pro.
Oh, right.
I'm a bit older than you, and it was ISS Pro 98, back when they didn't have the official names. So it was, you know, Alan Shearer was Alan Sheeler.
I love it.
Owen was Oran. And I was actually going to mention that, because you get the name sort of wrong. And I find that like a really nice parody of the early Pro Evos, because they all, you know, Van Nisseldog and David Backhams. And, and then there was you yesterday going through the transfer list and just giving them different Douglas Rice.
I forgot about that.
Like, that is literally like going through all the players on PES 2 or PES 3. But PES 5 is when it was huge.
Isn't it? It's so interesting, isn't it? How like that stuff doesn't matter. It's just funny. Like, even like, and having all the fake team names, like, I don't care that I'm playing against Man Red or Merseyside Blue or whatever, because the game is excellent. And so with FIFA, the way I remember having arguments at school with kids, and they were like, oh, but PES doesn't even have this team or this player. And it's like, that's not what it's about. You know, it's about your imagination. Like, it also, like in the new, I know in the new FIFA games, in the sort of manager modes, you have that thing where all the real managers are in it. And if you're trying to get like a Madrid player on loan, you have a meeting with Zidane or, you know, and it's like, I don't need this though.
Yeah.
Like, fair enough. And they should have a setting where you can turn that off, but they don't. It's like you have to, meet all of these real managers and, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, FIFA has always had all the rights, all the teams, et cetera, all the leagues as well. And then, but back in PES 5, you were just happy with what you had. And they made no effort. I think they eventually got the rights to use the names, which is we can see in PES 5. But I love that. I don't know if you remember, the only special features they used to have on PES were that if you unlocked enough points, you could unlock these things where they all wore penguin costumes.
Yes.
And ostrich.
I think it was PES 6, right?
That was it, yeah. And you could get all that. All like when you made a shot, there'd be a rainbow behind the ball.
Yeah.
And I love that Konami just went, well, that'll do.
Yeah.
And that's what they want.
It's weird, isn't it? Like, I love the weirdness of it. Like, yeah, the whole thing, like even the language in it is weird sometimes, like the whole summons to represent thing if a player plays for their country. There's so much weirdness. But I like that. Yeah, I like that with everything, really. I don't like when something is completely perfect. I like if it's a bit crap. It's
funny. Funny you should say that, because I'd say my favorite of all time is PES 2008, which is one of the most unpopular in the series. It's known infamously as the one where I think it dropped and FIFA took over in sales.
Oh, right. Okay.
It was my favorite because it was the one I used in my first year at uni, and we would play it religiously. Mm. And we had we made our little Halls of Residence team. Bridget United, we were called. And not only did we make our team, we basically just picked people. There was like two buildings, two halls. We just picked random people who lived in the other building and made them like an opposing team.
Great.
Then entered us both into the Champions League. And it was great. And we'd all just take turns to sort of play. And I remember the furthest we got was, I think, to a final, and we lost on penalties.
Mm.
And the atmosphere in our halls was as if England had been knocked out of the World Cup. It was great just putting people and stuff. But I had this issue where I didn't really like the man blues and the Liverpool mm-hmm. Merseyside Reds. So no one was allowed to play the game when I'd buy a new one until I'd gone through and edited it manually. I'd sit through there. Like, Sam's got the new game. Great. Whoa. Not until I've been through and made sure that, I mean, Stephen Ireland had hair for way too long.
Yeah.
That just drove me mad. He had hair up until PES 2012. So I'd go through, I'd edit them all. I'd change, even if I could just change the kits a little bit. And, you know,
I know what you mean, actually. Yeah. I used to do a similar thing, change it slightly.
Yeah, and I'd sort of, you know, I'd make sure that, you know, I support Reading, so therefore I'd make sure that they were just at least if they were in blue and white hoops, I'm happy. So I'd do sort of things like that, and then I was ready. I was like, guys, it's ready to go. But these days, and you're talking about things being perfected, you can just download a file onto a memory stick. You plug it in, you press update, and everything gets done. And I'm kind of like, well, can I not just edit the names? No, that's all done. What if I edit the manager's names? No, that's all done. What about the players? No, they're all pristine. It's almost weird, too perfect.
Did you ever do, like, you must have done weird sponsors for your teams, right? Like the way I've got Pepsi now. Like I used to have, because bear in mind, I was like 12 or 13. I can't remember which team it was, but I made their kit all like fancy. And I made the sponsor on the shirt, Hugo Boss. Because I thought that was cool.
Well, I think it was something like PES 9 or 10, where it moved on to the PS3, and you could actually upload pictures. And that was the best thing, because one thing I think they should bring back, there was only two games you could do this, was that you could create your own stadium.
Oh, wow.
So you could literally create, like, the Pepsi Stadium and create the sponsors and stuff.
Yeah.
And my friend from uni, Prateev, we were creating the stadium, and he just said, I'll sponsor it. And so I just uploaded a picture of his face, and his face became the whole stadium, you know, the banners along the top. And the best thing you could do is you could pick an option for the back. You know, you have like a background to the stadium. Like, so if you're playing at a new camp, you get like a nice background of Barcelona. If you're playing in like an English basic stadium, you can get like sort of houses in the background.
Yeah, that's great.
You could upload your own background to that. So you could take like a high image of your town and put it there. So I just had his face looking over the whole stadium. So no matter where you were.
What game was this then?
That one was PES 11, definitely on PES 11, because I actually put it on the other day and I couldn't stop laughing when I played a game his nickname was Stormer, the Stormer Stadium, and it just had his little face looking over the stands. It was absolutely terrifying, but a brilliant feature they need to bring back.
Oh, I didn't even know about that. I mean, the thing is, you know what's happening with the new PES? They're redoing the whole, like, they're redoing everything, basically, with the new one. So I really hope that they take into account how much we love all of the weird stuff they used to have and that kind of the stuff you customize. And I hope they give us some of that.
I think the ability to edit and stuff like that was what made it so much fun. I mean, and I've noticed you do it with obviously your characters as well. Like, I mean, what you've done to Risse and Iniesta and Joey Goalie. Just like, what goes through your mind when you go, right, okay, I don't just want Joe Cole. I don't just want this Cockney guy coming in. I want to give him this different character. How do you go about creating the characters of the real footballers?
It was kind of, I mean, at the start, it was kind of like, what voices do I like? How would I like them to sound? And then you can go into the edit thing. Oh, you know what? Part of the reason Iniesta looks so weird is because, so in PES 5, I guess Iniesta wasn't as big a name as he became. So he doesn't look like Iniesta at all. And he doesn't have the right hairstyle. He just looks like a very generic Spanish player. So I thought, rather than just have that, I gave him a really ridiculous kind of, it's not Elvis, is it? I don't know. He originally had a really weird kind of hairstyle that comes down that's like gelled weird. And I gave him some glasses, which I used to love that you could do in the old PES, that, you know, he played in the glasses like Edgar Davids. Yeah, and then I gave him this whole thing where he sounds kind of like an American kind of surfer. And he's obsessed with animals. I don't really know why that happened, to be honest. I can't really explain everything. I don't know. Some things just stick. Okay, he rambles, basically. And then one time he started telling me about an animal that he met and spoke to. And then that just kept going to the point where when he was on, we did a PES Come Dine With Me. And of course, his menu was all vegan.
Yeah.
And again, he's telling everyone about the animals. And yeah, I don't know, really. The great thing is you just let yourself go. You don't overthink it. You just, you know.
Well, I got that. The first time I really saw that was when you did the open mic night, the comedy night, which was, you know, obviously perfect as yourself being a comedian, professional comedian, being able to kind of emulate that and stuff. And it was really good. But what I like is that when you think about it, there's so much goes into it and it looks great. And I really like that it is just you just sat there talking to yourself. And I think you must have been a huge influence on what Richard Herring's doing with his Twitch of fun. Because he's got a thing at the moment where he's kind of got this old ventriloquist dummy and he's made different characters. And it's the same thing where it is just him talking to himself, but you do get lost in the characters.
Yeah. The thing is, you can't do that sort of stuff on stage. That's the thing. No. Like, I haven't had the opportunity to be that creative, really, because it's like, okay, stand-up is one thing, and I'm not really like a surreal comedian anyway. I'm just kind of do storytelling. There's not much time to improvise. Also, when do you get the chance to just mess around? Like something like an Edinburgh preview, you don't really get to mess around because it's very valuable stage time that you need because you're going to be spending thousands on the fringe, you know. Otherwise, like if you want to do a TV idea, you have to write up a treatment and stuff. And that's when, you know, like I say about like overthinking stuff, you have to be like, oh, well, that doesn't work. Like I could never have written up a TV idea where I'm a football manager. We've got Iniesta who is obsessed with animals. Like it would be stupid. I'd feel embarrassed writing it down, but you know, it works in the thing. So yeah, I just feel so like grateful for it.
That's interesting to say that, because I did say that you cited some of your influences when you got into comedy as like Chris Morris, for example, and quite surrealist comedians. And do you feel that you're now able to do that sort of thing? Because I've noticed as well, I've followed you on Twitter for a long time, but your tweets have now changed as well. So you'll now do things where like you'll tell a deliberately weird joke without a punchline, or the punchline won't fit, or you'll message a fellow Twitcher pretending to start beef with them. And I saw you retweeted that someone went, oh, why don't you just not share your opinion? And you're kind of doing that sort of thing now.
I love that. Yeah. The tweet I sent, so 1030, who's another streamer, who's a very good friend of mine, but we pretend to have a beef. It's just, I don't know why it started. But like we've done diss tracks at each other and loads of people believe it's real. And it's like, literally we'll message each other first being like, do you want to do this diss track thing? Or we'll be like, yeah, okay, that would be fun. I tweeted him and I said something so stupid where I think I really like humor where it's like so stupid, but people can still believe it. I don't know. Yeah. It's like, I guess that is a bit like Chris Morris's stuff, to be fair. I hadn't really thought about that, but I tweeted 1030 and I was like, he said something about his streams he was going to do this week. And I said, you know what, mate, it's not for me, but fair play to you. And like, as the tweet went on, I kept being like, it's not for me, but you know, I respect you. And then at the last line of the tweet was like, actually, I've changed my mind. I don't respect you at all. And it's like, how can you think that's real, though? And a guy has like, a guy tweeted me and was like, look, you know, you're being out of order. If you don't have anything nice to say, it's like, come on.
Yeah. There are people who would probably tweet something like that on Twitter. That's sort of true. Our, you know, fair enough. I don't really get you, but I respect what you do. But then just that twist at the end of actually, I've changed my mind.
I don't like it.
A wind up. We'll talk about your other sort of bits and bobs you've done on Twitch. But I want to go on to stand up for a bit because, of course, you've been a pro stand up since around 2016.
Yeah.
And so where do you stand with that now? Like, are you going to go back and do the show that you were meant to do at the 2020 Edinburgh Fringe?
I think so, yeah. Because I did like that. So that was going to be all about when I worked in a care home for a year.
Right.
And I think that'd be a good show. The thing is, stand up is my absolute favorite thing ever. And I'm so glad I had the courage to try it. And like, still, like, I absolutely love it. Even when stuff's not quite going your way or whatever, or you think you're not getting the opportunities you should and stuff, just doing a gig to, like, even if it's like 50 people in the middle of nowhere where you're really nervous because you don't know where you are, and it goes great, it's just, there's nothing like it. And so I do, and I want to keep getting better at it as well. Like, I love that you can work hard on it and you can see yourself improve over time. And it does take a lot of time and a lot of hard work. And I want to just keep going. I'd love to do stand up forever. So I think ideally I'd love to be doing Twitch and stand up. Basically, when I've not got a gig, stream would be the ideal life, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, in that respect, do you think when you go to the Fringe in, 2022, do you think you're going to find yourself with a new audience?
I hope so. You know, I don't know it like, because I've not done a gig for like a year or whatever. I don't know what it will be like. That I get tweets from a lot of these, my Twitch audience being like, you know, we'll come and see you kind of thing if you ever gig near me. So hopefully,
yeah,
I hope so. I don't know for sure. It's always a bit weird, Edinburgh. Like, I don't know. It's a weird one. Like, because my first sort of show, it built loads of buzz and loads of people came, and then second one was okay. Then the third one was like a lot less popular. I mean, luckily I still had people come, but just generally it was less popular. So you never know with it. It just feels like a lottery, really.
Do you think, is there a fear that you might turn up to Fringe 2022 and after every single gag you do, you'll have a good 20 people in the audience just go, class, to be fair. Pardon the pun.
Pardon the pun. I mean, I don't know. Like, again, I've never had this before. That's the thing, like, because with comedy and stuff, like, even though I think I've done well at it, I think, and I'm very proud, but I've never been on TV really, so I've never had fans like that. I don't know. I guess we have to wait and see. I mean, it's going to be weird even seeing people like potentially wearing my merch. I've not seen anyone in real life, but my brother drove past a guy jogging wearing a Pez United shirt.
Brilliant!
Which I can't believe.
Absolutely brilliant. And in respect to that, then, if you did go live, would you ever consider doing something live as the gaffer character?
I've thought about it, right? It's the problem is it's really hard, like, because I could do it with a projector, maybe, but I don't know if that's quite right. I think it has to feel perfect to me. I do have a couple of like secret things I'm working on, which I'll tell you after, just because I'm not allowed to it's very early days.
That's cool.
Ways I could do it. But like, because I keep being asked about whether, you know, my agent's been like, you know, write it up as a TV idea kind of thing. And it's like, yeah, fine. But I couldn't do it with actors playing like Castello and stuff.
I'd love to see that just as a one-off, like just even if it was 5 minutes, just a full like,
like a really high budget thing.
Yeah.
It's all real. Real football stadium. Yeah. You know, like, because the thing I love about it, I like how it doesn't look great. Like, I could have done a thing potentially where I mean, it would have been hard, but I could have done a thing with like the players' mouths move as they talk, maybe. But I like it how it is.
Yeah.
I like that it looks a bit rubbish, but, you know, you can still get into it. So, yeah, it's hard. It's like, how do you bring that level of that surreal, weird comedy into something, you know. So, yeah, I maybe would. I mean, there's one idea I had as a live version, one thing I would do, which I don't think could ever happen. But I think the only way I could really do it live is if it's like a play, basically.
Yeah,
I am obviously me. I'm the gaffer character in my suit and stuff. And all the players would have to be puppets, but like string puppets, Pinocchio type puppets. Do you know what I mean? Something like that. Like maybe the whole play is around like half time in a cup final where we're 2-0 down or something. And I've got to sort it all out and then actually have them play a football match. Something like that where it looks insane. You know, that's looks and sounds and it's all absolutely nuts. That's the only way I could do it. And I mean, that would cost, I think, thousands to put on.
Pedge United the musical.
It would be a musical, yeah. Yeah, and I'm not from that world at all. I've not had any training in anything and I'm not, you know, anything like that. So I don't even know where you'd start with something like that. But otherwise, yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't want to like, I guess I could do like an Edinburgh show where it's hot Pepsi, but I feel like I love this so much and it's, you know, it's my baby basically. And it's like, it has to be perfect, whatever I do with it. So I'd be very careful.
I want to talk a little bit about the fandom you've created, because I think there's what I really love is that there's a good community of them for a start. I mean, I've got people who follow me now on Twitter just from interacting with them through your Twitch chat box. And I'm sure other people have as well. And same with you very kindly as well raided me one time. When I was playing, I mean, what? How'd you follow that? You're in the middle of doing, you were doing that drop Pepsi episode, and there was me playing as my hometown of Newbury FC.
Oh, but they don't mind.
Well, what cracked me up about that was that was because I loved playing. I like playing Pro Evo on Twitch, and but the issue is, of course, is that there is somebody who is on there doing it perfectly. So I thought, well, I'm going to do something different because there were some really serious PES gamers on there.
Oh, yeah.
And there's some really good ones and they play for hours and hours on end. So I thought, what I'm going to do is I had a local football team to me, Newbury, where I grew up, actually. I played for them. Theo Walcott actually played for them when he was younger. And Brendan Rodgers as well. He played for them. And they have they had quite a good little history. And unfortunately, they lost their ground about 2 years ago. They were kicked out of their ground and they'd had nowhere to go and they had to drop down several leagues. And I knew the old manager and they really struggled and they tried to get publicity. And I thought, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll start a Pro Evo like Master League team as Newbury Town FC. And I'll buy in Theo Walcott, bring him home, and I'll create a proper team and we'll get them back to the promised land and we'll kind of, and we sort of did that. And after you'd raided me, one of your followers still follows me now. He said, we should all tweet Newbury Town FC and tell them what you're doing. We should all tweet them.
That's a great idea.
And about 15 of them all tweeted at the same time, went, Sam Michael is playing as you. It's brilliant. He's you should let him come down to the club. They didn't give a shit. They did not show any interest at all. So I dropped them. I lost 6 games in a row, got in a mood. I went, that's it. I'm resigning as manager. But this is the fact I really want you to know is that they were kicked out of their ground in 2018, but they had not had the ability to bring in a large number of fans. The day you raided me with roughly 250 people, which means that at that moment, there had been more people watching me play as Newbury Town FC on Twitch than had watched the real Newbury Town FC in about 30 years.
Wow.
It's nuts, isn't it? And they still didn't give a shit. Bilal,
it is amazing, Twitch. Did you see who I raided the other day?
No, who's that?
Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Did you actually?
Yeah, I think he was doing his first stream and he went Zaffa Cakes. Thank you, Zaffa Cakes.
Amazing.
And I could not believe it. So I am, just so everyone, I'm an Arsenal season ticket holder.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe, I've never had anything with the club. I've never really met any players or anything like that. I was buzzing for ages. Just the slight acknowledgement. I also rated Fabrice Muamba.
Yes, that was
who
great.
Was lovely. Yeah, really nice guy. Followed me back on Twitter and stuff. And yeah, he was very sweet. Really nice guy. It's just really weird, Twitch. I can't believe that I was even able to do that. Also, I had more people watching me than Aubameyang had at the time. So I like doubled his audience.
You did him a favor.
I actually did.
You did.
I can't believe it, though. Like, yeah, really weird place, isn't it? I absolutely love it. I feel so, honestly, so lucky that I found Twitch. I don't know what I'd be doing otherwise.
It has been great, and it's been great to watch as well. I'm gonna do. I know you've done Richard Herring's podcast.
Yeah.
Now he does emergency questions.
Yeah.
Now what I do is I do emergency facts on my podcast, where to make it look like I've done some research, research the club that my guest supports to try and just show that, you know, I've done a research, put some care into it. Yes. So I've got a couple of emergency facts on Pez United. And funnily enough, my big main fact that I was really excited about sharing with you, you kind of touched on a bit earlier, I think. You kind of referenced it. So my main fact, I was going to say it until last, I'll go straight in here, and that is that the gaffer's career nearly came to an end at the tail end of April 2020, when he got the club into financial difficulty after attempting to sign Obafemi, Martins and Seydou, resulting in the club being legally in a state of game over.
Yeah.
There's a fact there. Was that the one you were referencing earlier?
Oh, yeah, when we lost the job. Yeah, yeah. I forgot. They do it in a way that it literally says game over. It's so funny because, like, in newer games, they've done it so that you can you get sacked and then you end up at another club, basically, in the new FIFA and PES games. But in PES 5, you just are one club.
Yeah.
And if you go bust, it's game over. Like, it's so funny that a sports game says game over. It actually says those words in big letters. Yeah, that was a shame. I had to do luckily I had to load the game back up and all of that.
I think I lost like a whole team once doing that because it was difficult to reset. But the Master League, I think, is the mode, I think, is great. And I think, do you know what? Unfortunately, Pro Evo now are kind of chasing FIFA in that ultimate team thing. They have that Pro Clubs. And I just would rather they just put all their investment into Master League and made it really realistic, basically like a football manager that you could play as. And I remember some little features they had on my favourite PES 2008, which was that when you started playing as the team, you didn't have any crowd. You didn't have any crowd. And then as you carried on, as you won games, had more crowd come in. Another thing is that you got a picture. You started off as a D club, then you became a C club and a B club and an A club.
Oh, yeah.
So they had different pictures. So when you're an A club, you had a picture of like a packed stadium. When you had a B club, you had like a picture of some hooligans kind of cheering. If you were a C club, you just had what looked like three drunken fans sat at a park bench drinking. But my favourite one was if you're a D club, you just had a dog. You can look this up. It was a picture of a dog holding a flag in its mouth with your club's emblem on it. It was absolutely hilarious. And how why they got rid of that was just incredible.
Your only fan. A dog.
A dog with the flag in its mouth, yeah. I don't think we hear it through your stream, but
that's funny.
The music we used to have as well on the old Pro Evos were absolutely hilarious. And in fact, the theme tune to my podcast, which is done by the brilliant David Hoare, he asked me, what do you want? And I just went back and said, right, do you know this song from PES 2008? And it was, when you were editing, they had this song that just went football, soccer, all around the world. Do you remember that?
Sounds familiar.
And I just played in that one. Can I have something like that? So the theme tune to this does have that kind of jingle in it as well. And
that's really good.
But the music they used to have was so weird. But apparently,
really weird songs, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it was the fact that they obviously went to like music artists who didn't know much about football, so probably Googled like what are some football things, because you used to have songs that were kind of like this.
So they Googled it and they just saw the first thing, football, sometimes called soccer.
Yeah, and it just goes football, soccer, all around the world. And then there's another one where like it would just be sort of like this kind of techno synth music, and every now and then a guy will sort of go, "Oh, offside," and then a card, yellow card. And there's one where a guy just sings about going down the park to play football. But he just goes, there was Kenneth, there was John, there was Billy, there was Malcolm. And and what cracks me up is that that became like a thing, even at the time, that FIFA were playing, you know, Song 2 by Blur. They were playing kind of the latest cool hip pop songs.
Yeah.
And they were all laughing at the PES soundtrack. But I've got the latest FIFA 21 game, and the music in that now, just which is now kind of, I suppose, what the kids are listening to now, just sounds like old school PES music.
It's amazing, isn't it? Like, it's a shame, yeah, when you mention that, like, yeah, that PES did, they just did copy FIFA with the music, where now it's just like popular songs, isn't it? Or songs that they think
from
are
like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So you'll get like a Symphony by Clean Bandit, which came out in 2017. It's like there's the song that plays. But
yeah, it's hard though, isn't it? Because even like when you're saying like they should not do the online stuff and focus on the other, but you know that like FIFA make like billions off of children that are using their mum's cards. Like, you know, not that PES do that, but I can see that they do, you know, it's their rival, isn't it? So it's like they've got to put something into the online stuff. But yeah, God, if they could just do something for us geeks that love Master League.
It is for the geeks, isn't it? I always think of it like, I mean, back in the day, you know, Pro Evo was selling up here, FIFA were down there. Then it became equal for a few years, and now FIFA are miles ahead, and you know, Pro Evo doesn't make probably 10% of the sales FIFA does.
Yeah.
So I like to think that Pro Evo is the online football version of non-league football. You know, it's Dulwich Hamlet of football games. I'll hit you with another emergency fact. I've got a couple more. First signing, I believe, was Park Ju-young.
Yes.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah. Park Ju-young, yeah. I think so.
Or was I can't it at least quite remember, in the official but it makes series. Because wasn't there some before the ones that were the official first episode? Didn't you do some like test runs first?
We did a couple. I think I did two streams that we never, unfortunately, I didn't know how to save streams on Twitch. And also, I didn't think this would be a thing that I'd still be talking about now. So we lost two episodes, but I don't think we'd signed anyone. I don't think. So I think Park is the first signing. And you know why we went for Park Ju-young?
Go for it.
Because it's Konami's obviously Japanese. A lot of the Asian players in the old PES games are way too good. Like, they're way better than they should be.
I never noticed that.
Yeah, because Park played for Arsenal, didn't he?
Mm.
And he was useless. It was like a weird signing. It didn't make any sense. He barely even played. He like played in the League Cup a bit, and that like weird. But for PES United, he's a legend. I think that's right. I think you're right that he's our first signing.
That's something I forgot about the old PES is that you used to have these random players at clubs who were insane.
Yeah.
Who is it? We had a player who in real life played for Reading called Emers Faye. He signed 2.5 million at the time. We were in the Premier League at the time. 2.5 million was, I think, our highest ever bid on a player. Mm-hmm. And he played one game, got a red card, complained about the weather in England and left. Basically, but in the game, you could score from the halfway line with him. His shot accuracy was something ridiculous. And like we said earlier, your first signing as well, Obafemi Martins. Oh, I swear, wasn't his speed 99
fastest in the world?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why he was so good, because he's strong, he can finish, and he's just too quick. So you'd kill anyone, you know. What was I going to say? Sorry, I lost my sort of train of thought there. About players' stats. But there's even things in modern football games where, like, okay, like, how do you solve this problem? Timo Werner. So we also manage Mexico on my stream. Yeah, we have the international job as well. We played Germany, and Werner scored a hat trick. Right.
Mm.
He's not going to score a hat trick for Germany. Like, did you see him in the Champions League final? Yeah. Even there. Like, so how do you sort that out? Because technically his stats are very good, but he would not have done what he did to us, which was partly really frustrating, like, because of that. I'm trying to think of other, like, okay, that reminded me, actually. PES, maybe 11?
Yeah.
10 or 11. I was AC Milan manager. I signed Kyle Lafferty, and I swear he became, like, the best player in the world. So, but I like that kind of stuff. And I wish the new Pez is kind of lacking that. There is one big problem it does have, right, in terms of the Master League thing, is the regens it does. Because I want to sign a young player who's going to be world-class called something ridiculous, a made-up name, which is something FIFA does well. And I'm sure Pez did it at one point as well, maybe, did fake regens, maybe.
Yeah.
But now it's like, you know, it's like literally Cristiano Ronaldo, like regen, 17 years old.
I had that on mine. I had Gary Cahill regen at 16. But the thing is, he still had the head of his 38-year-old
self.
That's
a problem.
And it's just a bit scary. But I would rather that they did, like, they put in League One and League Two into the game, but just gave them fake players. So just had loads of fake players in there that you could go and maybe through the season they developed. It'd be really good.
But, yeah, that'd be great. Because now I have a problem because we want to sign some young players. But yeah, I don't want to sign a young, I don't know, whoever. I don't know, Rooney or whoever's just retired.
He's still got his awful hairline.
Yeah, he does, yeah. I mean, we do have one we've only got one regen. It's Hulk, you know, that winger?
Yes.
And yeah, he doesn't look 17.
No. He's good. I think I had in my Master League as well. I think he's a good player, good winger.
But it's a problem, like, literally, because now you've got your youth team, which I love having a youth team. But now they are all just, I think we've got Vertonghen, we've got Frank Ribery in our, you know, and it's like, it's hard to explain because then the people watching the stream are seeing these regions and they're like, well, obviously sign the young Ribery. And I'm like, it's kind of going to ruin the whole thing. If I filled my team up with all of these regions, it's going to spoil it. Like, I love, you know, because like Dodo being the defensive midfielder, like his stats aren't even that good, but he's still decent. He's still one of our best players. And I love that. But yeah, you know, I don't know what to do. Maybe, I mean, I wonder if I could, I don't know if I can make my own players and put them in Master League. I don't know if you can.
Did you have to recreate the players' stats and everything from PES 5 and put them into 21?
So there's a guy called PES Universe.
Right.
Quite a big Twitter account. And he has a website and you can download, I think, a lot of the, he's a really nice guy. I think you can get, some of the new kits and stuff off of that website that people have made. So it's like, he's just like a huge PES fan. And he sorted me out. So Konami actually put me in touch with him and I sent him all my players' stats and their faces and he made them in the new game.
Amazing.
He did an amazing job. I mean, some of them were very hard to do, but like, so, I mean, like the way he's made like Dodo and Castolo, they look excellent. Like they're pretty much perfect. There's a problem, like Iniesta's hairstyle isn't in it anymore. Jarasic's hairstyle's not there, the mad hairstyles they had in PES 5. You can't have the players wearing glasses on the pitch anymore.
Oh, shame. Now so, Gadavis is gone.
Yeah, can't exactly. So it's not quite the same, but I'd say it's pretty much perfect, the job they did, you know. And then PES Universe put me in touch with someone else who made my manager character in the game.
Oh, because I was going to ask how you do that. Because I mean, I do it through PS4 and you've only got the options of picking, you can pick dead people. You can go and put Maradona as your manager. Yeah. That's fine. But you can't create, you used to be able to create yourself in the older ones.
I don't know why they've done that. I don't know what they were thinking. Like, but yeah, I don't know. They could have even done a thing where you could like pay to unlock more managers and stuff, but I don't think that exists. But so I don't know what they were thinking, but he sorted me out with that. And the thing is, if you've seen my manager character, he looks ridiculous, but he does look like me, which the thing is, right, when I first got that through, so I was so excited about this, like, because, you know, I hadn't even really told anyone I was going to move over to the new game. It was just something that was going to happen one stream suddenly. All the players were going to look really different in the game and everything. And I knew I was getting my manager made in the game. Mm. When I finally got it, he's like a 7-foot guy who's massive. And like has a giant nose, like his face is crazy, but he still looks like me. And at first I was annoyed. I was like, well, this hasn't worked. I was like, you know, this is a mess. But then I realized, no, it's perfect because it matches the stupid world.
Yeah, it matches the other players.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. So you mentioned a minute ago that Konami put you in touch with someone. Have you got a relationship now then with Konami, with Pro Evo?
I do, yeah. Really, luckily, Konami Europe, I've been talking to for a little while. They sponsored a few of my streams as well.
That's excellent.
Last year, which was really, yeah. Like, I find sponsorships a bit weird sometimes, but I was very happy to do that one, you know?
Yeah. Because it's the people who made the game. That's fantastic that they got behind you. That's pretty cool.
It really is, man. It's really nice. Like, I'm very lucky. And I do think sometimes, like, if it had been FIFA I picked, I don't think I would have had that relationship with EA Sports, would I?
With the community, I think there is a lot of nostalgia for it as well. There's a certain, I mean, that I imagine a lot of the people who follow you are people probably our age who grew up with the game. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm sure there's a lot of people who've discovered it through now. Everyone loves it.
There's a lot of people
game.
Who don't even like football that watch it now.
Oh, of course, so yeah. I bet. I mean, it's just it's a comedy first and foremost. But I do like that there's a real nice nostalgia for the actual game and old Pro Evos in there. And I don't think you'd get that with FIFA.
No, I don't think so. And also, I mean, PES is its own amazing thing, I think. Mm. And like I said, the way that FIFA is so focused on the whole Ultimate Team thing now. And the cards of the players, that's all you ever see.
Yeah.
You know? I've been talking to them for a while. And people might think that I moved over to the new PES because of them, but they were happy for me to keep playing the old one.
Mm.
And they were like happy to kind of support it where they could. But it was more that in the old PES, you didn't have stuff like you couldn't manage an international team. You know, in PES 5, you can't even, I don't think you can even take players on loan.
No, I don't think you can.
Ah, and you can't, there's no youth team system either.
Mm.
So it was like, it was so limited because I felt like all that's going to happen with my PES 5 squad is eventually if we win the Champions League, I guess that's the ultimate thing.
Yeah.
Where do I go from after that kind of thing? Whereas now it's like there's so much more going on and we have won the league, but like I can manage Mexico at the same time. That's its own challenge. We kind of struggled in the Champions League. We've been drawn against PSG, which is it's hard. Like we got something brilliant was we got battered by Bayern Munich so badly. We were 2-0 up in the first leg last season.
Yeah.
First knockout round, 2-0 up in the first leg. I thought we're going to win the Champions League. And then second leg, I think they beat us 6-0. And it's like what they do in real life, like what they keep doing to English teams, where like they're just relentless. Just keep attacking, keep scoring. And it was a nightmare. I felt horrible that stream, genuinely.
It's the funny old game. Comedians talking about football.
Going to ask actually, do you ever get too into it? Like if you play like too many games back to back and you're just losing, do you kind of come out of character from it and go, no, actually, I'm playing a game here and I want to win?
Yeah, I got really frustrated one stream where we just kept losing. Like, we kept getting unlucky as well. Like,
yeah.
So what happened was, I think we're playing Southampton, who've got Ward-Prowse, who's excellent at free kicks. A problem with PES is that players are too good at free kicks in the new PES. And I know there's a thing you can do, apparently, where you can control the keeper or whatever, and I should look into that, but I haven't. And I think maybe Ward-Prowse got two. They did nothing all game. They got two free kicks and just both in the top corner from quite far out. I was furious. And the next game, we were getting destroyed by Chelsea, but it was like literally first half, we were like 4-0 down.
Mm.
And I was frustrated. And the chat were all like, Zaffer out kind of thing. And they're joking, but it was winding me up. So I didn't like stop the stream and be like, I hate all of you. Like, I'm going to end. But it got to me, that stream. Like, I didn't like it. So I do tell them to be positive, like when we're losing or whatever. I'm like, look, you're assistant managers, like come on, kind of thing. Because brilliant. You get very much into it. You do want to win, you know?
Yeah. Oh no, absolutely. I've
but it is funny when you lose. Like,
yeah.
That is, I do sometimes feel like I've got the perfect thing because it's like I can't lose. Cause like if we do lose to a bad team, like the other week. I did a press conference where I said, we're going to go the season unbeaten. And we lost to such a terrible team. They scraped a 1-0 win. And like, we kept hitting the post and stuff. And it's like, that's perfect. Like, that is such a good stream.
Yeah. I know what you mean. And I don't know about you as well, but I find the new game really frustrating in two areas. One, they always score free kicks.
Yeah.
And two, the refereeing.
Yes, man. It's
shocking. Can't do anything.
Yeah, like really good tackles, literally where you've not slid in or anything. You just win the ball and they blow the whistle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a problem. But like, I'm very optimistic because I do think overall, genuinely, I think it's a good game, the new Pez. I do really like it. And I think I'm very excited to see what they do with the next one. You know?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And I was going to ask as well, what's the future now for Hot Pepsi? Like, are we sort of waiting for the next game to come out, and will that be a new chapter?
I think so. I think especially with it being the new, because it's something I'm genuinely excited about. Yeah. Like, I think if they weren't doing this, if they were doing another season update, PES 23-22 season update, sorry, I wouldn't change it because there's literally no point. Yeah. I just keep doing the same thing. But because it's going to be all new, and like people are going to be, as a streamer, people are going to be excited to see the new game anyway. So it's like, I have to do it. And from a personal, you know, personally, I'm just excited. So yeah, that is something I plan to do. I don't know how that's going to look. I don't know. You know, I'm hoping Konami will help me out again with the whole squad thing. But if not, I can make the squad myself, you know, like if I have to, and I would enjoy it. That's old school.
I would love to do that.
Yeah. I would even like to stream that, but I don't want to show behind the curtain too much kind of thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Surprises. Yeah.
Speaking of which, you do other stuff on Twitch as well. I know you a continuation of your acting school that you did on YouTube before I think you even got onto Twitch. And sometimes just kind of, you know, writing scripts, kind of jokey scripts, and sometimes just straight up streams. And I think one of my favorite ones was about 2 weeks ago, which I hope returns, because it was one of my favorite streams you've ever done. And that was just you going through EastEnders episodes. I just thought that was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, I'm going to add that. Like, so a thing that people listening don't know, like something that's quite popular on Twitch is watch-alongs, which is literally someone watching an old show or old adverts or something, and like pausing it and kind of commenting on it. And it's really fun to watch. It might not sound like much, but it's really good. And I've not done it much. And I do want to do it with, like, I actually want to find quite obscure hooligan films.
Yeah.
Or maybe EastEnders type things, like my favorite EastEnders things, or stuff like that. I like British things that are rubbish. Like,
yeah,
there's okay. Like, one thing I have to do a watch along of. I was an extra in a film. I used to do extra work when I was like 18 because I studied media at uni. I was quite interested in that kind of thing generally, and I was just in Hollyoaks for like a couple of episodes, I think.
Yeah.
And there's a film that I did that was shot in London called St. George's Day.
Oh, I know St. George's Day. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, because it's got
nobody knows it.
I can't remember the actors, but it's got
Frank Harper is the main guy.
Yeah, and he was obviously in a Football Factory, and the other guy was I've forgotten his name, but I remember him. He does everything now. If there's a gangster film now, he's in it.
Yeah,
and he played Dan in EastEnders as well.
Right, I can't remember.
He was as well.
There's a few of these guys. Basically, St. George's Day is a film which is about. So they're gangsters, but they're also Millwall fans.
Yeah.
And they're all going, there's going to be some drug deal happening with some Russians, obviously. Yeah. I think it all has to happen on St. George's Day when England are also playing Germany. So they have to fight some Germans. It's so stupid, isn't it? It's like Frank Harper's fantasy. It's like his complete fantasy. There's even a bit, the thing I love about that film is the way that it's like, he's just written what he wants his life to be. It's not even a good film. I think it's pretty boring. There's a bit when he gets a call in the morning and he's like annoyed because he has to get out of bed because he's in bed with like two supermodels. And it's like that when that has not happened to you in real life. What are you doing?
Who do you play in the film then?
Oh no, you don't really see me. I think you just see like the side of my head. I'm just in a bar in the background.
Oh, okay.
And in the scene, it was like, the scene in like a restaurant kind of bar. And they've got actual Millwall players were there in the scene at a table.
Brilliant.
And also, what's his name? Who's that boxer? The really tall boxer, the Gypsy King. What's his name?
Oh, Tyson Fury.
Tyson Fury was there. And I met him. And he was really nice. He was really friendly. This is like before, because he wasn't this famous then. He was kind of up and coming boxer at the time. He was there. Yeah, really polite. Really nice guy.
thing I love.
But yeah,
about
sorry,
that.
I rambled there. But the point is, yeah, I want to watch more stuff like that on stream as well.
Yeah, go for it. I think there's some good. There's some good old ones. There's someone I like the watch longs as well. Someone I've forgotten their name. She watches through. She hasn't been on for months now, but she did. She did watch throughs of like old 80s episodes of quiz shows.
That's great.
Absolutely amazing.
Like, who was it? Who's the streamer?
I can't remember for the life of me. Oh, right. But it was like she used to do them really late at night. She called it like her Insomnia Club, and I can't remember her name, but she would do these streams. They were absolutely brilliant. Going to be St. George's Day. My favorite thing about that film is that the credits roll too early. If anyone wants to go back and watch it, he's doing his like little speech as they're walking away, and the credits just come up way too early and sort of cut him off.
Oh, it's really funny. Man. I love that. It's so good. It's like, it's just a mess. It's like they got fed up by the end. I do remember as well, because I was in two scenes. I think, well, in the first scene, I wasn't, you can't see me. But that day, I think it was the first day of filming, and he was really friendly, Frank Harper, the guy, the main guy, director and writer. He was like so nice. And then I remember the second day we filmed, it went on, it got quite late, and he looked really grumpy. He just looked fed up. And I think it's so funny imagining that they got to the end of the film and it was like, it's done. I was just... Yeah, fed up.
Scroll it up.
Do the credits. Yeah, don't even check it. Don't even check the credits.
Brilliant. Yeah, they're very, very good. They're like the same group of guys who will do it. And they're kind of all ex EastEnders and ex The Bill. And they always play the same character. It's always a group. It's always based on Essex Boys.
Yeah.
The story. And it's more just guys in a Land Rover.
Man, I love it. I love the
Russians.
Thing. Yeah. Because I think because I'm a big football fan, I'm from London. That whole side of it, the whole fans pretending to be hooligans, like when you see away fans wearing all the Stone Island stuff, acting like they're going to have a fight, I find it so funny, you know? I know there's real ones, like Millwall fans still, and I don't mean that as much, but I mean the whole look of it and acting tough and stuff, that whole, I guess you'd call it toxic masculinity in football, I just find funny.
The funny old game. Comedians talking about football.
I'm gonna leave you with one more emergency fact.
Sure.
Although I'll do it as a question. See if you know it.
Okay.
What is the first question you ask the assistant coaches?
As in on the first like early on in an early stream.
Well, I've gone back to the first stream, and you ask the crowd, you ask your followers and watchers one question straight away.
I'm not sure. It's not if they're good family people, is it? It's, you know, I can't remember. You have to tell me.
Is my internet working?
Oh, wait. So are you saying in my first ever, you know what that is? It's because, when I first started the stream, firstly, like I'd never done streaming before.
Yeah.
And also I was living with my mum at the time. And I was in the loft room.
Oh, brilliant.
And the internet was shocking up there, really bad. So I would have a lot of problems early on. Luckily now I'm like I've got a wired connection and stuff, and it's like, you know, it should, I think it generally works fine. That's funny though. Is my internet working?
I love that. Of course, you were kind of helped setting up with Limmy, weren't you? You became friends with Limmy.
Yeah. Sorry.
I was going to say, did he have good advice? Did he really help you out sort of getting set up? And I know he's been an advocate for it. You know, the other day he was still wearing his Zaffer Out t-shirt.
Yeah, I'm really lucky, man. Like, I met him at the Edinburgh... I kind of knew him a bit through Twitter. Like, he acknowledged me on Twitter before kind of thing. And then... met him at the Edinburgh Fringe in 2016, the first time I went up, because he was doing he was promoting a book up there and doing like a little Q&A thing. Just had pasta with him, which was nice, and we stayed in touch. And then, yeah, I messaged him about, because like I started, you know, you might have done the same thing where like didn't know what to do online when gigging stopped and stuff. And it's like people were doing Instagram Live, Facebook Live, and it was all a bit rubbish, wasn't it? Like I just thought this isn't very good. People doing like a Facebook Live gig just to their Facebook friends. I hate Facebook anyway. It's such a weird place. And then asking for donations on PayPal at the end. I thought there's got to be something better. So I texted Limmy. I said, like, you know, I'm thinking of doing Twitch. And the advice he gave me, which I guess best advice ever, he said, absolutely do it. he said, but make sure you dive in head first. Well, heed first, H-E-I-D, heed first. He said, don't dip your toe in. He said he's seen comedians go on there and like be like, okay, what's going on kind of thing, play a game and then, like, leave it. He said, absolutely go for it. And I thought, I might as well, because I had, you know, there was nothing happening at the time. Like, because also my agent was like, now's a good time to write a script. And I was like, I don't feel inspired, though. I don't know when I can gig again. I was kind of having panic attacks anyway, because of, you know, the whole situation was so scary. And I thought, what can I actually do as a creative outlet that isn't Instagram Live, where I'm just talking to a mate or whatever?
Yeah.
So... yeah, man, I just, yeah, I did just go for it. And I'm very lucky that he supported me. He's like tweeted about me. He's talked about me on his stream. He wears my merch all the time, which is nice. And he's been a huge part of it. You know, I think if I didn't have his help, I think I still would have had a bit of a following and stuff, because I think it's kind of popular on its own. But he's helped massively. He's really helped bring people in. So I've got so many Scottish fans now that I just didn't have before. Yeah, very lucky, very grateful.
Well, it's been really good to chat to you, mate. And
me too. It's been really nice. It's been good for my ego.
Well, I do want to say, actually, and I'm happy, I'll cut this out if it embarrasses you, but for me personally, I mean, it's been so good to watch. You know, I was watching from I think very early May last year, and it's been great to watch. You know, I've there was no football. There was, people might forget that now, but there was absolutely no football on at the beginning of lockdown.
And it ended abruptly, isn't it? That's the thing. It's like, it didn't end, if it ended at the end of a season, I think it wouldn't have been as bad. But the fact that it ended midway was so weird.
Yeah. It? And so to have something to kind of replace it, which is also comedy, is also a massive nostalgia trip for me, a Pez fan. I just want to say thank you, because it was honestly, it's been a joy to watch, and it's been absolutely brilliant.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. That's really
nice. And it's been an honor to have you on my podcast as well.
It's been lovely. Thanks for having me.
Now, what we also do is I always thank my guest by, I get them a classic shirt from the team that they support. Now, the difficult thing we've got here is, obviously, is that Pez United are not an IRL team. And obviously, I'm going to assume you own your own merch. So what I did is I had a little look online, and I've managed to find an official, I don't know if you can see it, an official Pez kit.
Oh, yeah. I've got something similar, but I don't have that one. That's better than the one I have.
That's good, because I've managed to find it. I managed to get it shipped over.
Really?
If you send me a message, I'll get that sent over to you as a thank you for coming on.
Wow, thanks so much.
No worries at all.
Thanks, man.
Well, best of luck getting back into as comedy clubs are opening up again. Best of luck with the new show. And I'm, as ever, look forward every week to see what happens next with the boys at Pez United.
Cheers.
A huge thank you to Bilal, and a huge thank you to the listeners as well for listening to this episode. And if you've listened to any of the previous episodes and been with us throughout the series, I really, really appreciate it. If you want to be even more of a good family man, you could do me a massive favour by leaving a review, hitting subscribe, or just telling your friends about the podcast. It was great to have Bilal Zaffa as the guest for the final episode of the series. He's someone I've been wanting to get on for a little while, and it was great to talk about Pez United and ask him questions I've wanted to ask him since I started watching it, because I'm such a huge fan of his Twitch stream and the Pez United stuff in particular. It's very rare, you know, when you like see something on telly, or you see a film or some music or something, and you think, oh man, this, I feel like this was made for me. I definitely feel like that was made for me. I absolutely love it, and I just think taking a classic game like Pez 5 and making what is essentially a live online sitcom and running it 3 times a week, 2 hours at a time, I just think it's brilliant. So guys, do follow him on Twitch, which is Zaffa Cakes. You can find him on Twitter as well. He's brilliant on Twitter. And you can find some of the best of his previous clips. If you're new to all this and you want to check out the stream, go to his YouTube. Just search Bilal Zaffa. He'll come up there, and you'll be able to see kind of the best of his streams.
And if you are a huge fan, don't forget to check out his merchandise, which is available as well, where you can get replica shirts and mugs and all sorts. He's done so well out of it, and it's so much deserved. He's been fantastic. And he was a great last guest to have on. So that is the end of Series 2. As I said, thank you to all the guests and all the listeners for this series. We'll return at some point during the 2021-2022 football season. Until then, you can follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram. Follow us with the same handle, which is at ComTalkFootyPod. Give us a follow on there. And find us on YouTube as well. We've got loads of extra stuff that pops up on there. And that'll be happening before the new series, little clips and stuff. We've got some of the best of our previous episodes on there. So again, just search Comedians Talking About Football into YouTube and you should find us there. As for me, you can find me on Twitter at Sam J. Michael. So until next time, thank you so much for tuning in this series. I really, really appreciate it. The amount of listens we've had for Series 2 have been incredible. I was amazed by the listening count for Series 1, but to see it over doubled for Series 2 has been great. And it's a funny old thing, isn't it? Because really, I think I said in one of the previous episodes, this podcast should really have been called Comedians Talking About Football in Lockdown, because we've only recorded 2 episodes in person, and they were the first 2 before lockdown came in, and since then it's all been on Zoom. But it's been good. If anything, I think it's maybe improved the conversations that we've had, because there's been a kind of nostalgic talk about football. As some of the episodes we recorded, football wasn't even on at the time. But there we go. So until next time, as I said, follow us on Twitter, follow us on and then he said LinkedIn then. Don't find us on LinkedIn. Don't find me on LinkedIn, whatever you do. So follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram, and check us out on YouTube as well. And I'll see you for Series 3 of Comedians Talking About Football. Play us out, David Hoare.
Football. At the end of the day. Football. It's a funny old game. Comedians talking about football.
Comedians talking about football.
Comedians talking about football.
Sports Social Podcast Network.